So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 7, Text Number 11 to 13. The sacrifice performed by Daksha. Daksha uvacha. Bhuyan anugraha ho bhavato kritome. Dandas tvayamai brito yadapi pralabdha. Na brahma bandha shucha vam bhagavan avagya. Tubhyam bharesha kutaiva drita vrateshu. Dakshaha, King Daksha, Uvacha, said, Bhuyan, very great. Anugraha, favor. I'll read the translation. Translation. King Daksha said, My dear Lord Shiva, I committed a great offense against you, but you are so kind that instead of withdrawing your mercy, you have done me a great favor by punishing me. You and Lord Vishnu never neglect even useless, unqualified brahmanas. Why then should you neglect me who are engaged in performing sacrifices? Purport. By His Divine Grace, the boy Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Although Daksha felt defeated, he knew that his punishment was simply the great mercy of Lord Shiva. He remembered that Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu are never neglectful of the brahmanas, even though the brahmanas are sometimes unqualified. According to Vedic civilization, a descendant of a brahmana family should never be heavily punished. This was exemplified in Arjuna's treatment of Ashwatthama. Ashwatthama was the son of a great brahmana, Dronacharya, and in spite of his being committed the great offense of killing all the sleeping sons of the Pandavas, for which he is condemned even by Lord Krishna, Arjuna excused him by not killing him because he happened to be the son of a brahmana. The word brahmana bandhushu used here is significant. Brahma bandhu means a person who is born of a brahmana family but whose activities are not up to the standard of the brahmanas. Such a person is not a brahmana but a brahma bandhu. And Daksha proved himself to be a brahmana bandhu. He was born of a great brahmana father, Lord Brahma, but his treatment of Lord Shiva was not exactly brahminical. Therefore he admitted that he was not a perfect brahmana. Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu, however, are affectionate even to an imperfect brahmana. Lord Shiva punished Daksha not as one does his enemy, but rather he punished Daksha just to bring him to his senses so that he would know that he had done wrong. And Daksha could understand this, and he acknowledged the great mercy of Lord Krishna and Lord Shiva towards the fallen brahmanas, including even himself. Although he was fallen, his vow was to execute the sacrifice as is the duty of brahmanas, and thus he began his prayers to Lord Shiva. We read text 12, 11 and 12. Text 11. King Daksha wanted to offer prayers to Lord Shiva, but as he remembered the ill-fated death of his daughter Sati, his eyes filled with tears and in bereavement, and his voice choked up and he could not say anything. At this time, King Daksha, afflicted by love and affection, was very much awakened to his real senses. With great endeavor, he pacified his mind, checked his feelings, and with pure consciousness began to offer prayers to Lord Shiva. King Daksha said, My dear Lord Shiva, I have committed a great offense against you, but you are so kind that instead of withdrawing your mercy, you have done me a great favor by punishing me. You and Lord Vishnu never neglect even useless, unqualified brahmanas. Why then should you neglect me, who am engaged in performing sacrifices? So these verses are illustrating the mercy of the Lord and the Lord's devotees. Here, after Daksha had been slaughtered at the sacrificial arena, and then he is brought to life again by placing a goat's head on his body. And here in these verses, how Daksha has become very much awakened with his new life and his new head. First of all, he's realized he was dead, and then he came to life again. So naturally, the first thing you would consider if you was dead, and then you came to life again, was that, by whose mercy I came alive? I was dead. And he realized this was Lord Shiva's mercy. And now he has so much affection, his heart is melting with affection for Lord Shiva. It's like the cowherd boys when they're with Krishna and a big fire came, and they all fell dead on the floor. And then Krishna glanced over them and suddenly they were awake. Oh, they realized we were dead, and now we have... Immediately they remembered it must be Krishna. And immediately their love for Krishna grew even stronger. So it's naturally with this reawakening, anybody will adjust their consciousness. How delicate life and death are. Daksha was practically the Lord of the universe. He's one of the first created people in the universe. And he was doing something, creating a sacrifice. Practically at that time all the devas were there. He was practically the Lord of the universe. And then he's brought to life again. Kamala dala jala jivana talamala. Like a little drop of water on the lotus leaf. You've seen the water on a drop of water on the lotus leaf. It stays in a ball shape. It doesn't just spread out. The water stays in a ball. And as the water moves to the wind, the leaf moves, and that ball is just rolling. It stays like a ball. But at any moment, it could come to the edge and into the water and disappear. So this is the precariousness of life. In one moment, it can be finished. But one moment, we are thinking, not me. So let me go in my own consciousness is the way I am going. But when one comes, when one dies or comes very close to death, you see, there is a reawakening. They realize the temporary nature of this world. And then they can become much more serious. They change their consciousness, realizing the perception of how close death is. So it sometimes takes a great shock for a person, death or almost death, to come to his senses. Here now, Daksha, he's a completely changed man. He was so hard-hearted towards his own daughter, Sati. But now he's awoken from his death state and realized Shiva is actually my best friend. He's developed so much, simply by seeing Lord Shiva, he has developed so much affection for him. Now he wants to offer prayers to Lord Shiva to thank him, but now he's remembering his daughter, how he was the cause of his daughter's death. And again, his voice is choked up. He cannot speak. He's feeling so much affection for his daughter. He says at this time, King Daksha was afflicted by love and affection, and he was very much awakened to his real senses. So this is a natural condition of the soul, when we're actually awakened to real senses, as Daksha was. Naturally, there is love and affection, it's already there, Nityasiddha Krishna Prem. When it becomes awakened, then you can actually experience it. So this is something quite natural. Love and affection is the qualities of the soul. So not only he's awakened from death, so he's very much aware, but also he's got a goat head.
Mrityu theke jege otheni, kintu tar ekhon chhag mundo royeche.
If you had a goat head, I think you would be very much conscious of yourself and other people when they come and talk to you. So it's good for Daksha. Now he has a constant reminder every time he looks in the mirror. So he's always going to be in very pure consciousness.
Yes.
Just like the devotees of Lord Shiva, they like to put ashes from the crematorium or from the jug all over their body. And for 24 hours a day, they're covered in ash, simply to remind them of the temporary nature of this material body they're living. Daksha is admitting that he has committed great offenses against Lord Shiva, and he's asking forgiveness for his offenses. And he's realizing, even though he was considered himself very useless, that still Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu are merciful to him. He's allowed to stay in this position and perform the sacrifice. And he realizes Lord Shiva and Vishnu are not really really angry with me. Otherwise, why would they let me continue in my position? So here Prabhupada is emphasizing on Brahma Bandha, that person who is not actually qualified to be a Brahmana, he's called a Brahma Bandha, friend of a Brahmana. And Prabhupada gives the example of the High Court judge And he's got that position by his qualification. But the judge's son, he's not necessarily a high court judge. He may have a good opportunity to become like his father, but simply because he's son, he cannot be accepted as a high court judge. So a person who is actually a Brahmana but unqualified, he's designated as a Brahma Bandhu. So just as there's no harm in calling the son of a high court judge the son of a high court judge, there's no harm in calling a son of a Brahmana who's not qualified a Brahma Bandhu. Yeah. But here, because the Brahmanas are the head of society, and so they should be respected. Even if they make mistakes, they should be respected and not punished, but corrected so they can continue to remain the head of society. So the Brahmana should always be protected. So Lord Vishnu is, and Lord Shiva, although he appeared to be very angry with Daksha and actually killed him, he also brought him back to life. So he protected him actually from his false consciousness. And Prabhupada's given the example here of Ashwatthama. He was the son of Dronacharya, and he killed the 5 sleeping sons of the Pandavas. Although it was such a heinous act, but still he was forgiven. And he wasn't killed, although the Shastra says an aggressor should be killed. And this is also good. The Smriti Shastra says that if a person is a murderer, then he should be killed by the king. And that by that act of killing him, it actually purifies. It can purify that murderer of so much sin that even he can attain the heavenly planets by being... Manu, in the Manu Samhita, Manu says that even animal killers should be considered as murderers. Because humans are meant for... not meant actually to eat flesh, but they have... their business is to become self-realized, understand the higher purposes of life, so it's not necessary for them to kill animals. So if they kill animals, they should be considered also murderers, according to Manu's law. And just as if there is a conspiracy to kill someone, a group of people come together and conspire, and they kill someone, all of those persons who conspire, they're considered guilty of murder, and they're also killed. So similarly, those animal killers, all those involved in the conspiracy, they can also be killed according to Manu. So there is 6 conspirators in the acts of animal killing.
That one
person who gives permission for an animal to be killed, he is also guilty. The person who kills the animal is guilty. And the person who sells the animal flesh is also guilty. A person who cooks that animal flesh, he becomes guilty of murder. A person who administers, distributes the meat, he's guilty of murder. And a person who eats it, he's also guilty of murder. So here we see, Ashwatthama was also killing, but he was forgiven. On the consideration that he was a son of a Brahmana.
Je tini chilen Brahman putra.
Ashwatthama was a very wicked man. And at the end of the battle of Kurukshetra, when everyone was killed practically, Ashwatthama and Kripa and who else was there?
Kritabarma.
These 3 persons were there, left, after the killing of practically everyone else. So they went to see Dhritarashtra, who was lying, he just had Bhima that just crushed his spine. He wasn't supposed to do that. It was what we call hitting below the belt. In Kshatriya rules, it's not allowed, but somehow or another, under Krishna's instigation, Bhima broke his spine and the thighs of Dhritarashtra. Bhima broke the thighs of Duryodhana. So Duryodhana was laying there all alone, bones broken, covered in blood, and Ashwatthama, he was making promises that I'll kill all the Pandavas. I make this vow. I will kill those Pandavas. They have killed you unfairly. They have cheated you so many ways. They've done so many unfair things. I will kill them. This was the night. Actually, the battle had just finished. The night was there. This was the final day of the battle. So, Kritabarma and Kripa, And as for Tom, they said, we'll take rest now. And just as the sun, as soon as it's light, a little bit light, we'll attack them. Everyone will be off guard. They think the battle's finished. And we will kill them. And as for Tom, he couldn't sleep. He was simply remembering the atrocities that had happened. He was laying, looking up, and he saw hundreds of crows were sleeping in the trees. Came very silently and sat beside the crows, and then he started to kill all the crows while they were sleeping, one after another. And the dead crows were falling down. And then he was very much inspired, and he woke up the other, and he said, yes, he said, let's kill them while they're sleeping. He said, I just had an indication. This way we can easily kill them. They're all sleeping. Let's go now and kill them. But Kripa and Kritavarma said, no, everything is against us. Time, we've lost the battle, we've lost everything. We should just accept it now that this is our fate is like this. We cannot defeat them. But Ashwatthama said, I'm going alone. If you don't come with me, I'm going alone. So he got on his chariot and he rushed off. Then he saw a big, huge figure before him. Yes. He had a deer skin around, which is covered with blood, and a black deer skin on his round his, and a big snakes around his waist and on his arms. So he immediately fired arrows at this person, and nothing happened. Then he tried different kinds of powerful weapons. Then a big steel dart, he fired great force. His weapons were just absorbed in the body, and nothing was happening to this figure. And he realized, this must be Lord Shiva. I was always worshipping Lord Shiva. This must be Lord Shiva. He thought, I'm finished. He's the most powerful person. I've offended Krishna, and he's dear to Krishna. He's come to kill me. There is no hope for me now. So he began to offer his prayers. He threw down his weapons, and he offered prayers to Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva said, go ahead and do your duty. You take this sword, very powerful sword, studded with jewels on the handle. He said, take it. With this weapon, you can kill all of the Pandavas. So he took that sword, and he was actually very much enlivened, empowered. Actually, he felt Lord Shiva's empowerment. Then Kritavarma and Kripa came, and they said, how can we leave you? We're the same party. We have come to join you. He said, I'll enter the Pandava gate camp. You stay outside. If anybody comes, you kill them. As soon as people start leaving, you kill everyone. I'll kill everyone inside. So Ashwatthama entered very silently, and he went to find Drishtadyumna. And Drishtadyumna was sleeping on his bed. And he dragged him off his bed, and he began to kick him and punch him. And Drishtadyumna said, at least kill me with a weapon. Let me die with a weapon. Kshatriyas like to be killed with weapon. Ashwatthama said, no, I'm going to kill you like an animal. Just by the force of his feet and his punches, he killed Drishtadyumna. And he said, where are those Pandavas, five Pandavas? That must be their tent. So he saw five sleeping persons in that bed. And with his sword, he cut their head off, one after another. And by then, everyone was starting to wake up, and everyone was shouting, and he was just running from one tent to another. Whoever he saw, he slaughtered with his sword. In this way, he went throughout the whole camp, and he just slaughtered everyone. He was covered in blood. You couldn't tell his hand from his sword. It was full of blood and flesh, and it looked like another limb of his body. He was grotesque, but he was just killing everyone like anything with the... And those who tried to get away and ran out the gate, they were killed with the arrows of Kripa. Ashwatthama was very happy. He said, let's go and tell our news to
Duryodhan.
Let's tell him we've killed the Pandavas. He'll be very happy. So again, they went to see Duryodhan, and they told him, we've killed everyone. We've killed all the Pandavas, and we've killed all the soldiers. So Duryodhan was very happy. You have made our clan glorious now. We have come out successful. But he was thinking, how he can kill the Pandavas. So Ashwatthama said, I've got their heads on my chariot. He brought the five heads. And Duryodhana took that head and he crushed it. Five of them. He said, this is not Pandavas. I would never be able to crush their skulls. But I'm crushing them. This is not the Pandavas. This is the sons of Drupadi. Actually, the Pandavas, they were supposed to go back. But Krishna reminded them that actually the Kshatriyas, when they were in the battle, it's customary, tradition, that they'll stay, the leaders of the battle will stay on the enemy camp that night. So they rested there. They didn't go back to the Pandava camp. So the actual Pandavas were in the enemy camp that night. They rested under the instruction of Krishna. So that this was the sons of Drupada. He was so heartbroken. He said, what have you done? These were the remaining kings that would be will carry on our tradition. We are a family after all, and they was going to maintain the family tradition. Now you have killed the only hope. And saying this, Duryodhana died in disappointment. Dhrishtadyumna's chariot driver, he managed to escape. He was the only one who could escape. He went to tell Krishna and the Pandavas of what had happened, and everybody was fainted. They're falling on the floor, practically unconscious. The five Pandavas, Drupadi. And Drupadi told Bhim, go and kill him. Go and kill him. I will not rest until I see his dead body. You bring him back here, his head. So then Bhim, he set out to catch Ashwatthama. Then Krishna understood. He said, no, that this Ashwatthama, he knows the science of the Brahmastra weapon. Bhima doesn't know that. And he'll surely use it to kill Bhima. But let Arjuna go, because Arjuna knows how to counteract. He knows the science of Brahmastra. He can counteract also. So let Arjuna go. So finally they caught up with Ashwatthama. And he was panicking. Here, my death is for sure. Arjuna, Bhishma, that Bhima, my death is sure. So he wanted to release his Brahmastra weapon to kill Arjuna. And a great halo of light spread everywhere and started scorching all the different planetary systems. And Arjuna was offering prayers to Krishna. What is this? What is this? And Krishna told him, he's released the Brahmastra, but he doesn't know how to withdraw it. So you can release your Brahmastra to counteract it, then you can withdraw them both. So Arjuna released his Brahmastra, and then they met, and there was a huge fire was a huge. But Ashwatthama, he didn't know how to retract it, but he knew he could divert it. So he was in such a situation, he was thinking, let me kill that Parikshit Maharaj in the womb of Parikshit. He's the last one. Let me kill him. See how mean this man was. And he redirected that Brahmastra to go to the womb of Uttara to kill the last remaining child. And Uttara went before Krishna and offered prayers, please save my womb.
So,
and then Krishna, he appeared within the womb and he protected the child with his club, was it? Anyway, he counteracted the Brahmastra to save Parikshit Maharaj. So he foiled the attempt. Then Arjuna was able to withdraw the Brahmastras. Then Arjuna bound him in ropes. And Krishna said, kill him. He's a great offender. Arjuna actually didn't like to kill him. He said, let's take him back to Yudhisthira and Drupadi. And when Drupadi saw Ashwatthama bound up with ropes, she said, release him. He's the son of a Brahmana. She said, Ashwatthama is our guru. He's the son of Dronacharya. By Dronacharya's mercy, you learned all the art of fighting, all the mantras and everything. And he is represented by his son. When Dronacharya died, his wife didn't commit sati because she had a son. She stayed to look after the son. Therefore, he's representing. So you cannot kill him. He's our guru. And if you do kill him, then what about his wife? I'm lamenting so much for my five sons. She'll be in the same position of lamentation. But please don't make her cry like me also. And Krishna said, a Brahma Bandhu, a friend of a Brahman, is not to be killed. But if he's an aggressor, he must be killed. This is the spiritual injunction. So also Arjuna, you promised you'll bring the head of Ashwatthama, and so Drupadi can take her bath on standing on his head. So you have to fulfill the desire of your wife. And Bhima, he wants to kill him immediately. I'm also saying he should be killed. Now you have to make a decision. And that time Krishna manifested four arms because there was a conflict. So he manifested four arms to show that somehow or another the conflict could be resolved by Arjuna. So Arjuna understood. Then he grabbed his hair and he cut the top knot with a jewel in his hair. To cut a Kshatriya's hair is like equal to killing him. And he gave that hair with the jewel to Drupadi. And as soon as Ashwatthama had left the Pandava camp, all of his Shiva Shakti that left him. And that jewel on his head was giving him so much Shakti. When that was gone, he became weak and withered. And so it was like equal to killing him. Then Krishna said, you are such an evil person, Ashwatthama. He said, you leave this place. You will have to wander around for 3,000 years. And you will have constant suffering on your body. Your body will have sores. You will give bad smelling. You will only live in deep forests and in wilder land where nobody lives. For 3,000 years you have to suffer like this. Then after that, you will attain the heavenly planet. And it is also said that the next time this lila happens, Ashwatthama, he becomes the next Vyasadev. But anyway, the story is illustrating of how even a Brahmana Bandha shouldn't be killed. So this was the mercy of Krishna, the mercy of Vishnu, the mercy of Lord Shiva. How these are illustrating how Daksha was saved, he wasn't killed, and now Ashwatthama also, he was saved, and because they shouldn't be killed. Jai Srimad Bhagavatam ki.
Jai.
Srimad Prabhupada ki. Nitai Gopremanandi.
Hari Hari Bol.